Beginning on 23rd of April, 2013, a series of massacres in Iraq killed hundreds and wounded hundreds more. The state has the right to put down violent movements, but what if the cure is worse than the illness? If I were to ask you what comes to mind when I mention the nation of Iraq, how would you respond? I would imagine a few phrases might come forth. Number one, the site of some of the earliest signs of civilization. Number two, a nation ruthlessly ruled by the dictator Saddam Hussein for decades. Number three, the poorly conceived and executed US invasion in 2003. Number four, a country beset by civil unrest for decades. And finally, number five, the center of the self-styled caliphate created by Islamic State or ISIS. Ever since the overthrow of the Hussein regime, Iraq has been a mostly ungovernable land. Running the show is complicated by ethnic, i.e. Kurdish or Arab, and religious, Sunni Shia Christian, clashes, in addition to outside interference, largely from Iran, but also from Saudi Arabia. Keeping the whole shebang together is a challenge, to say the least. As a consequence, Iraq is a very violent place. It consistently ranks near the bottom, which is bad, of the Global Peace Index, created by the Institute for Economics and Peace. Some of this mayhem is at the hands of the terrorists, some is at the hands of the state, and some is the action of average citizens. Sometimes it is all three. Beginning this day in 2013 and continuing for 4 days, a paroxysm of killing broke out across Iraq, and when it ended, more than 330 people were dead and almost 600 injured. The carnage resulted from multiple actions by multiple actors, including, on the 23rd, Iraqi security personnel fought demonstrators at sit-in camps. Overall, at least 111 people were killed and 233 wounded in those clashes and other violence. The following day, at least 86 Iraqis were killed and 128 more were wounded. A third day of widespread unrest across northern Iraq led to the deaths of at least 96 Iraqis, while another 79 were wounded. The final tally was unknown as many of the casualties went uncounted in the chaos. And on the fourth day, at least 38 Iraqis were killed and 109 more were wounded in bombings in Baghdad and other attacks across the country. Now, technically, not all these deaths were caused by terrorist groups, although some definitely were. When a country like Iraq has been at war for close to two decades, atrocities are committed by all sides. Iraq has certainly seen its fair share of real terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda affiliates, ISIS and others. The government, too, has not been loath to resort to violence to quell dissent. Throw in militias and other sundry shadowy organizations, and the recipe for death and destruction is complete. This is what Iraq has been like for a generation, if not more. The US decision to invade and occupy the country after 9/11 did not help. Lord knows when Iraq will rejoin the roster of normal nations.
Hi, this is Phil Gursky, President and CEO of Borealis Threat and Risk Consulting in Ottawa, Canada. Thank you for listening to this episode of Today in Terrorism, where we look at what happened on this day in the past and what it means for today. I'd love to hear what you think of the content here at Borealis. You can email me at borealisrisk@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BorealisSaves, or on LinkedIn or on Facebook. You can also subscribe to all my content, Today in Terrorism, Quick Hits, Perspectives, and other media by going to my website, www.borealisthreatandrisk.com, and clicking the subscribe button on the top right of the screen. You will receive all the content free of charge to your inbox on a daily basis. That's it for today. I'll talk to you again tomorrow for another episode of Today in Terrorism. Until then, stay safe.